The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago ESPN 1000.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair on your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Follow us, subscribe, talk to everybody in the chat. We're here till 6:30, taking you into White Sox baseball. Fred Huebner has your pregame tonight. Connor and DJ in the booth. It's going to be great. Another game against the Angels. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Don't mind me. I'm just doing some things behind the scenes,
just doing
sir.
Some stuff behind the
scenes.
Give
us an opening take. You got something hot for us?
Hot takes. Yeah. What are the Bears doing up at Hallis? Have they lost their minds? That's what I got for you.
Is that really all you have?
No, I mean, we're going to be out and about here in a little bit. We're going to Lamont after this. We're going to hop in does your car have a name? My car has a name.
No. We had a little zipper back in the day, but we traded little zipper in for a different car. So no name.
No name?
No.
Why haven't you named your car yet?
I don't know. It just hasn't happened.
Our car's name is Rosalie.
Oh, okay.
After Rosalie April from The Sopranos.
All right.
That's all you got for me? No car name for Chris. My car name is Rosalie. It's a Kia Sportage. Don't draw stuff on it, I guess, if you see it. I don't ever really drive it. My wife drives it a lot because I can take the train here. But we're going to get in Chris's car. I will name it in the car. I will name the car before we get to Lamont. Doing a pub crawl courtesy of White Claw, qualifying people for a trip to Las Vegas with Waddle and Sylvie to check out Chicago against Las Vegas in October. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. You know you want to go. Everybody wants to go to this game. Everybody wants to party in Vegas. So we're going to do that, but you got to come out and qualify. You can qualify at all three spots. We're going to be at NextMex. We're going to be at Canal Street Pub. It's going to be awesome. So come on out. Drink some White Claw with us. Crawl to the other bars. Drink some more White Claw. Crawl to the other bars. Drink more White Claw. And you can register at each bar, too. Not just one registration. Register at every single bar. So the Bears, back to work today, up at Hallis Hall, as they get ready for the Bengals. Did you know this line? It opened up at 5.5 before the game started. Then they played said games. Joe Burrow looked really good in his game. The Bears did not look good in their game, and the line moved down to 3. The Bears are a 3-point favorite. And now, as we sit here on Wednesday at 6:05 p.m., the Bears are only a 1.5-point favorite, meaning that if this game was on a neutral site, the Bengals would be favored. Now, I hope this happens. I don't like rooting against the Bears. I don't want to root against the Bears. Chris, you're going to the game.
Yeah,
you don't want to cheer against the Bears.
Yeah, I'm
you
ready to go here. Like, I got our commercial break ready to go. We're ready to go. I'm ready to fire from the other room. Let's go.
You don't want a 3-and-out, and then you're like, yeah. But I think that at this point, that might be the best thing that happens. That the Bengals put up some points. The Bears failed to generate any offense. And then Justin Fields comes out at halftime or maybe in the second quarter, and then not just for a gimmick play, not just for some BS handoff or a read option or whatever, but stays in the game because desperation has set in and you can't lose to the Bengals at home. You can't.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing to take place. I think rooting for complete and utter disappointment and just a dismantling of the team, I don't think that really gets us anywhere positive. You know, like, yeah, maybe it'll force their hand to play Justin Fields, but I don't think, like, this decision, it seems as if there are players on the team, perhaps coaches who are there, who see what Fields is, what we see, and what everyone else sees. Yet Matt Nagy has a plan, and he's sticking to this plan. And so I don't think that just hoping that the team gets blown out on Sunday, that that's necessarily going to get us into a better situation. I think the best situation would be if the offense doesn't look great, Justin Fields gets in, plays pretty well in the time that he gets, whatever that may be with Matt Nagy, whether it be red zone situations, however that kind of works out, and that the team is competitive, right? So then when they do make the switch, we're not starting back from the bottom. Like, hopefully there is a little juice to this team as we head into the season. And, like, after week two, it's just not a complete disaster. And we're just giving the keys to a rookie and hoping that he can bail everyone out. Hopefully they play pretty well against the Bengals. And they just realize that the offense is a little better with Justin Fields over Andy Dalton. I don't want a complete disaster Sunday.
But unless it's a desperation move, I don't trust Nagy to put Fields out there for more than just that gimmick player in the red zone, because if the offense is moving, then what's the point? You're not going to see a change. You're just going to see him come out for a play here or there, and then when they're in the red zone, which you're not tricking anybody at this point. So what you're telling me that Dalton's good enough to get you from the 20, from your 20 to the other 20, and that's it? That's all he's good for? He can't do anything in the red zone?
So, well, is it that, or does Matt... Hold on, let me put this call on hold.
No, just take him. Just take the call. Just punch him up.
It's either that, or Matt Nagy doesn't trust Justin Fields between the 20s. Do you see what I'm saying? It may not be that they don't trust Andy Dalton once they get to the red zone. It's they don't trust Justin Fields when they have to drive the length of the field to run...
But you trust him in the most important spot in the game?
Well, and then
what difference does it make?
If you flip it, you're like, if you put all this trust in Andy Dalton, yet Andy Dalton does not have... I think Eric's down here now. Sweet. What's up, Derek?
Eric!
Eric, welcome to the party, Eric! So back to the sports thought. I think here's the thing. You trust Andy Dalton to jump in, right? And then he throws a pick, and you're trusting him so much... And he's the one that made the critical error against the Rams. I get the secondary was a big problem for the Rams on the Bears against the Rams on Sunday. But also, your quarterback threw a red zone interception. You're not going to win any games that way. So if you have all this trust in Andy Dalton, he then needs to take care of the football.
No, I understand that. Like the interceptions are, I'm not. Listen, that was a tipped ball. I don't think that was on Dalton. You look at when a ball is intercepted, and if someone throws a pass that's tipped, is it their interception? Is the defense creating opportunities for interceptions? It was a bad throw regardless. But if you can't trust him down there and you're just going to put in Fields, you can't just treat every part of the field like the red zone. If he's going to run for 10 yards, he's going to run for 10 yards. If he's going to scramble, if he's going to roll out, if he's going to use play action, whatever. I don't understand this. Oh, well, we're going to trick people and bring them in and bring Fields in the red zone, and that's going to surprise people, and then maybe we'll bring him in for a trick play. Maybe we'll use him on the read option, and that'll throw off the defense, because you're not throwing off everybody, because as soon as people see Justin Fields come in, they know exactly what to expect. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the studio.
Hi. Continue on. You've got...
No, that was thoughts, it. I was just vamping until you got here. And basically, I don't think that there's like a point to the bringing Fields in for one play. There's rhythm.
I'm going
to
throw this out there. This may not be the finest Black and Abdallah episode, but it certainly is an episode. I'll give you that.
It is. This is our finest episode.
Shout out to Eric.
Multitasking. Shout out, Eric. Shout out to White Sox baseball coming up in 20 minutes. Shout out to Lamont as we go into Lamont here after this for a White Claw bar crawl.
I have the information, by the way.
Yeah.
So 7:30 to 9:30, we are going to Next Mex first, the Cornerstone Tavern, and then Canal Pub tonight. If you want to try and win a trip to Vegas to hang out with Waddle and Sylvie for Chicago at Las Vegas on October the 10th, mm-hmm. brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Mm. Hang out with Black and Abdallah tonight in Lamont from 7:30 to 9:30. We will be crawling. We will be drinking White Claws.
Can't wait.
We will be hanging out with you tonight in Lamont. Come on out. It'll be fun. The moment the show ends,
bam,
we're out the door. We're heading towards Lamont. We're going to hang out with you tonight here on ESPN 1000.
We're going to jump into Marissa? No, I don't like that name for the car. I'm going to try to come up with a name for your car.
You're still doing the car thing.
Yeah, I'm still doing the car thing, yeah.
To be honest, I was like half listening in there while I was trying to get things situated. So, all right, cool. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Let's talk to Brian in Buffalo Grove. Brian, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Oh, you know.
Hey, so it was kind of a carryover from the conversation that Waddle and Sylvie and you guys were having about the stadium in Arlington Heights. And what I was thinking was that, to me, I used to live in Connecticut for a while. And when Patriots Place came out, they had it as a big theater out there. They got a mall out there that's all compacted in with the stadium. They got a bunch of restaurants out there, and I think it'd be a perfect thing with Arlington Heights having the trains that stop right there, and they just make that whole expansion to where that stadium's great. That's my first point. My second point is that you guys are a bunch of fantasy football guys. I love your takes on all the fantasy football and all that. So I'm asking you, do I take Ja'Marr Chase this weekend?
Ooh, I think so. I think he's going to have a good game.
Yeah, I think so, too. And the Bears' secondary is not very good, right, yeah. Brian? Don't you think that the Bengals are going to put up some points?
He had a few drops in the beginning of the game.
Yeah,
but
those slant routes that he was running, they mm-hmm. went deep that one time. The highlight that was everywhere, Burrow found out. I mean, I think that Cincinnati is going to score points, and he's going to be leading the way.
Hey, listen, I think they torched the Vikings' backfield as well on the first game. Even though that was a pretty decent game to watch between the Vikings and the Bengals, I really thought that both Chase and Boyd both torched the secondary for the Vikings. So it could only be better this week when they're going up against the Bears' secondary that don't show up. They got two studs in the backfield that aren't really studly right now. And the safeties, they can't even touch a guy down. And yeah. These guys are like pro safeties.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Brian. Appreciate the phone call. Adam in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Adam?
What's up, man? Hey, I'm just thinking aloud. I looked up some things actually from the Kansas City Lion back in 2019 when Patrick Mahomes took over, and I'm wondering if you guys think it's better to let Fields go out there with this really crappy line and just kind of see the get the experience, everything, or do we save him physically, knowing that we have really a bad line that might get him hurt, and what the best option is there?
Adam, I'll answer your question with a question: is the line going to get better in the next 3 weeks when he maybe starts, or is the line going to get better next year? Probably not.
No,
they don't have a first round draft pick.
No, it's
they
a shaky
don't,
line.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have. I mean, they're going to have some money next year, but any high priced offensive lineman is going to probably be out of their price range. So you're going to have to piecemeal this together for the next few years, unless you hit on an alignment in the second or third or fourth round. And I don't see the point in just waiting. If he's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. Like, there's not. You can't just keep quarterbacks in bubble wrap. So you didn't want him to play against the Rams against Aaron Donald, but Aaron Donald was kind of a non-factor in that game. And so what? He can start against the Lions because they don't have a good defensive line, and he can start against the Giants because they don't have a good defense. Like, you're going to pick and choose which games he can start. Just play. Just play. He's a football player. Just play. He took a massive hit against Clemson and played, still played in that game, put up 6 touchdowns in that game, and then played a week later against Alabama. He played well. The team didn't play well, but he played well.
All right, White Sox baseball coming up in 15 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Shout out to Eric Ostrowski, the man. You heard Black and Abdallah struggling along. He runs downstairs.
I thought I did a great job.
To help us out. Yo, you were. Eric's the best. Shout out to Eric. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. White Sox baseball coming up in about 10 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. But first, it's time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, Lynn.
And tonight's song of the night... Mr. Jones by the Counting Crows. And it's brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football is back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champs host Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, and Purdue this fall. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com. Mr. Jones, the Counting Crows.
This song off of the Counting Crows album, August and Everything After, which was released yesterday in 1993. This song reached number 5 on the Billboard charts back then. And it's a, it kind of has to deal with Kurt Cobain's death and Adam Duritz and another musician, the bass player Marty Jones of the Himalayans, kind of wanting to be famous because they don't want to be alone again. And they all got freaked out when Cobain died, and like this is kind of about all that, about wanting to be famous, because then they'll have friends and that kind of thing.
Right.
So yeah, Mr. Jones and me.
You seem really thrilled about this selection for Song of the Night.
Fun. How about this for a song fact? Fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Sure.
Adam Duritz, one of the first guests on our college show back at Columbia.
Yeah, back in the day, a little Black and Abdallah action on CRX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, WCRX.
He was actually awesome.
He was super nice.
And I'm pretty sure I used a clip of that interview for my air check when I was, you know, when you're a senior in college and you're trying to get a job somewhere. I'm pretty sure I used some of the Adam Duritz on my air check to send out to radio stations.
He was very nice.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
And we were nobodies. And no. It was so cool.
It was like our second interview,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
In college on our show. Hey.
Adam Duritz right to Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
I think. And then Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
Bill Burr.
Yeah. Who else did we do? Oh, we did that guy from Reno 911 came on the show. Carlos, Mike, can I think of his name?
He was Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life.
Yes.
He was
yes.
the voice of
Carlos
Rocco.
Ellis Rocky.
Yeah.
And then the guy from, what's that Nicolas Cage movie where he's like the motorcycle guy?
Oh, yeah, that dude. Don. Yeah.
Yeah, Donald Logue. Yeah. Yeah. The other guy in that Nicolas Cage movie.
I'm pretty sure, Abdallah, you also booked Andrew Dice Clay.
I did book Andrew Dice Clay.
For our college radio show.
Hey. D, H, M list celebrities.
We were our all show. Over it.
Our show. Who's that guy? Our show.
All right, let's listen to a little of the Counting Crows as we hear the song of the night. And I want to be someone to believe.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my car.
Yeah, it's just an...
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lick.
Usually we end Bleck and Abdallah with the Song of the Night.
Not tonight.
Yesterday, Norm MacDonald passed away at age 61. We like sharing things that... Eric, you're the best. Eric's going up to do
Bye,
White
Eric.
Sox baseball now.
Thank you.
We like to share things that inspire us with you because we think that you're interested in that. So here's the deal. We love Conan O'Brien. We love Norm MacDonald. This is the best.
The best.
Norm MacDonald on with Conan. Take a listen. Bleck and Abdallah, White Sox baseball coming up next.
My strongest material comes from real life.
Real life?
Like, for instance, today I was driving in a car.
Mm-hmm.
You were kind enough to bring a car to bring this old chunk of coal here to the studio.
We send cars for our guests, yes.
Yeah, so I got in it, and I get material that way, so my driver...
What do you mean? How do you get material that way? You get in the car, and what happens?
My driver tells me a joke.
The driver we sent to pick you up told you a joke.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell it now on the show.
Yeah, that's how I get a lot of my material.
Okay. Why don't we just have him on next time?
That guy. No, wait till you hear me do it. So the guy, he goes, I'll be the guy.
Okay.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office.
A moth goes into a podiatrist's office. Right.
You are correct. A moth goes into a podiatrist's office, mm-hmm. and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Linovich. And all day long I work." Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Linovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there. The podiatrist says, "Oh, yeah?" And the moth goes, "Yes." And he goes, "At night, I sometimes wake up and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm. A lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria. She fell in the cold of last year. Mm-hmm. The cold took her down as it did many of us. And my other boy... And this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me and end this hellish facade once
and for
all.
How long a drive was this? Do you live in the valley? Where do you live? Please, sorry.
He says, "Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging on to my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good." And so the doctor says, "Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here?" And then the moth said, "Because the light was on."
Oh, man. Oh, the best.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.